There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you so much. You ready for some matcha tea?
Matcha latte.
Oh, let's do it. Carlton, thank
hey.
You so much for having me on Headstrong.
Thanks for having me.
Having you on Headstrong.
Yeah. I was like, you're my guest now.
Yeah, you're my guest host.
I'm the host.
Yeah. Thank you for having us in your house.
You're welcome.
Beautiful. So nice to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, you've only been here a year and a half. Or just no, a year.
Not even a year. I'm almost at my 1 year mark. Yeah.
And what do we think of the UK?
I personally love it.
Yeah.
I've loved living in London so far. It's been like, it's the first place I've ever lived overseas. Mm-hmm. So it's been an adjustment, but I love British people. I love London. It's so close to Europe. So yeah, no complaints.
Can I say what you said to me on the sofa?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to come to the UK. I'm going to get a British boyfriend.
Oh yeah. I'm marrying a British man. I'm determined.
I just know. I'm manifesting it. Are you a manifester?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How long has that been going on?
Since I was really young, my mum's very spiritual. I'm a very spiritual person. So yeah, manifesting is my 101 go-to for everything.
Yeah. I think what's nice about what Headstrong is about is like all about mental health and well-being. But doing a podcast in your own home is very comforting. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It
like,
is nice.
You know, I know that we've got like the cameras and the mics and stuff, but it's still your home.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not too invasive.
No, not at all.
But no, it's so nice to be here. What do you do then to kind of switch off? You know, because you live a busy life. It's a lot of it. It can be online.
Yeah.
What do you do to switch off to like take time for yourself?
I have my little practices that I try and do every day, essentially, just to keep my mental and, you know, every stress down. Because I think with my job, there's a lot that people don't see that is so highly stressful. So every morning, my non-negotiables are the gym, like 100%. I'm such like
every day.
I love working out on the weekends. Everyone's like, you're nuts. Like, it doesn't mean that it's a high intensity exercise every single day, but just moving my body, whether it's walking, yoga, Pilates, or a weights class, you know, running, mm-hmm. anything that just gets me moving, I feel like it helps my mental health so much. Journaling is a huge thing that I've practiced for years.
That's
so
amazing.
Just whether it's a gratitude journal in the morning, or just a lot of the time it's just, I'm feeling this is happening. It's not like a dear diary, but it's like a rundown of what's happening in my life at the moment and just how I feel. Then manifesting, you know, journal sessions.
Yeah.
I am manifesting this and this is happening in all my wildest dreams. And then meditation is also really big for me.
Are you using any apps? Or?
No, I just learned how to.
You're just good at it.
Just do it. I just play some Zen music and I just vibe
out.
How long do you
meditate for?
I try and do 15 minutes.
In the morning?
In the morning, 15 to 20 minutes. And I just feel my best when I'm doing those things. I'm also like, I love acupuncture and massage. I feel like they've been very integral in my life. It's obviously an expensive add-on, but I feel like it's really worth it for my like stress levels. And I just feel like it's the one time I'm so zen, you know. I just love it.
Are you one of the people that builds their stress by like their body getting tense? Because I'm exactly the same.
I grind my teeth really badly.
When you sleep?
When I sleep, I do it like unconsciously. And I've done that for years. And it's just, yeah, the one way that my stress manifests in my body. And it drives me insane. So I notice when I'm clenching a lot that there's a lot of stress that I'm not identifying. So stuff as well, like sauna is amazing. And also getting into nature. Obviously, it's a lot harder living in London. I'm really lucky. Like, I live near Hyde Park, so I can go for a walk and take my shoes off and get grounded. But it used to be a lot easier at home. I would just go to the beach by myself and just sit and get off my phone. But we're making it work being in a big city.
I mean, you've been here nearly a year.
Yeah.
Is there any pets on the horizon?
Pets?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No? Not allowed? No.
I travel way too much. I would love to have a cat. Like, I'm such a cat girly. But my best friend Ashton got a dog before she left Australia. And now the dog's in Australia. She travels. She misses it all the time. You have to find people to look after it. Like, I'm still young. I can't even look after
myself.
Plenty
of time for
a
dog.
I'm like, I'll get an animal once I'm more stable.
I've got a dog.
Yeah.
I've got to show you.
What breed?
He's a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, cute.
I know. But that's something that I do for myself, you know, like making sure that I go out for an hour every day and walk him.
Yeah.
It's just that fresh air. I can switch off, put a podcast in.
Yeah.
That's what's just
I feel
so
like
nice.
A lot of people do say that having an animal really helps them with their mental and just having that companionship and stuff. And I'm sure it would help me, but I would feel bad bringing this little child, my child into the world and then like ditching it every few weeks to go travel.
I know, I totally get that. With your exercise then, do you just find that, because I've been through periods where I haven't exercised.
Yeah.
And you can't quite put a pin on it as to why you're like, I don't know, like groggy or just not feeling it.
Yeah.
And then when you come out of an exercise class or the gym and you're like...
No, the endorphins and exercise high is so real. Even like, I don't know. It just, I know you don't want to do it, but you know it's going to help you. Mm. And maybe it's not the first workout of the week that helps you, but that third one, just you're just like, oh my God, I'm like releasing all of this. I love doing a boxing class.
Do you?
If I'm feeling really like angry about something or someone's hurt me or like... I'm trying to move through take the anger out in a much healthier way. And
we should have done that.
Us doing a boxing class.
Yeah, we should have done a boxing class.
I'm not a pro, but like I love getting into it and they just blast music and it's very therapeutic.
It is, yeah.
I also find exercise an amazing way to manifest weirdly because I feel like it's the one time I'm out of my mind and I'm not actually thinking, but I can visualize things. Like I can just tune into the music and tune into my body. And I'm really big on visualization. Like if you can visualize it, then you can create it and it feels more real. So I love playing out little scenarios when I'm running or when I'm boxing. And I think it's very powerful.
Something with visualization though is difficult. Like, cause you've got to have control.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I would say I'm a big overthinker.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that so many people of course are, but with visualization, you've got to, you know, because you always think of the worst scenario.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, you've got to take control.
Yeah.
What's actually a reality? What could happen?
Yeah. If I'm visualizing when I'm working out or I'm picturing the best things that I can get, me feeling my best, like just channeling that. But obviously if I'm sitting on the couch and I'm falling into a mental spiral, I'm not trying to visualize all the... the shit things that could happen because overthinking is the devil and it's easy, we all do it so often.
So let's talk about nutrition because you, first of all, let's talk about your activity, which is matcha. We're going to make a matcha. What are we making? A matcha latte. I have never had one in my life, so I'm excited.
I hope you like it.
And this is something that you have every single morning, isn't it?
Every day.
This is
so,
part of the routine.
It's like when people say, I just can't start my day without my morning coffee. This is my morning coffee.
Love it.
Brings me so much joy.
Yeah?
Like I think...
Bounce out of bed with a smile.
I'm like, I'm so excited to have my matcha. I quit coffee because I used to love coffee. And I still love coffee. I love the taste of it. I just think that it's not actually the best thing for you, especially if you're an anxious person, you're an overthinker, you've got a lot of stress already in your life. People lean on coffee to help them through their day when really it's actually causing a lot of damage to your insides and your adrenal glands, your cortisol levels. And then you become really reliant upon it. And I'm not saying I'm not reliant upon this because this is caffeine, but I pretty much quit drinking coffee probably almost 3 years ago now, two and a half years ago. And it was challenging, but it was the best thing I've ever done for myself.
Did you have this immediately as a replacement? So what were you trying different things?
I didn't have any caffeine or stimulants for a year and a half or so, at least a year. Besides green tea, I would have green tea, but it's not making me buzz. You know, it's just like more of a herbal kind of drink. But I then discovered matcha. I knew about it, but I didn't know about all of the benefits of it and that it could still give me that caffeine buzz without causing so much damage to my cortisol levels. Because at the time I was trying to fix my gut health and the one main thing, and my gut health, and I also had panic anxiety, like the worst anxiety after getting a head injury. I had a bad concussion, which toppled a lot of my health. And I just had to go to the basics and learn a lot about nutrition and how to naturally heal from a lot of these things. And quitting coffee was the one thing that every doctor or nutritionist I spoke to said, and caffeine in general. Mm. So matcha, it's much more gentle. So what it does is, like, caffeine, you know how you get the coffee spike and then you drop and then you're like, I'm so tired, I need another coffee. And you go in these highs and lows. Much as slow releasing, so you have it and it just over the next few hours, it keeps you like buzzed in a gentle way. You're not going to get that like...
So you're going to have
heart.
It's a late night for you tonight then.
I know. Second double matcha. I had two yesterday and I literally was laying in bed like, why can't I sleep? And I'm like, you're an idiot. You had two very strong matchas.
All right. Okay. Teach me. Let's do this. You tell me. I reckon you just make it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. No. Don't you worry. I don't think I'd trust you with it.
Brilliant.
Okay. Matcha.
Yeah.
I do it really strong. I normally do a full teaspoon, but we'll just... split it up.
What is matcha?
It's green tea powder.
Okay, there you go.
So it's like very... what's the word? Concentrated green tea powder, I guess. You're going to do hot water. Yeah. I'm going to make yours first. Okay. I'm going to put honey in yours.
Okay, yes, please.
Do you like sweet?
I'm very sweet.
Okay.
I've got sweet tea.
We're going to go for it. Every time I make it for someone for their first time, like,
you make it mega sweet.
I make it really sweet.
Okay, fine. I'm happy with that.
Little whisk?
Yeah.
You whisk it up.
All right.
You want to make sure you whisk it well. You know, this is the mistake people make. They get a matcha from somewhere. People only say they don't like matcha because it's not being made right. People whisk it for 1 second. And then it's clumpy and you have all these like little bits. Green tea bits in your mouth. It's disgusting.
It's just not a thing.
You whisk it.
There you go.
I just do it for a long time to make sure that's good. You want to get your ice? Shit. Put it in the glass.
I love the straws.
Don't mind the straws.
Glass straws. Love those.
Get your coconut milk.
I'm excited. It's fine. We love making a mess.
I make a mess every time.
It is good content.
I've made it really strong for you, so you're gonna be buzzing.
Great. My evening sorted. Okay, so the health benefits basically are, you know, it's that slow release of energy as opposed to, as you say, like that coffee high and then crash.
The actual health benefits is that it's, well, there's that. That's why I do it. It's way more gentle on your cortisol levels and adrenals. But it's very high in antioxidants. I could get Google up and tell you the other health benefits, but there's lots.
Yeah.
Green tea, it's essentially just green tea.
Yeah, but a lot of it.
And you know, they all say green tea is amazing for you. So.
Yeah, well, I love green tea.
But it's running with that. Cheers.
God, what a Friday afternoon.
I know, we're crazy. Getting crazy. Your face!
What?
I've made that so strong.
No, you haven't whisked it enough. No, I'm joking.
That's not an intro matcha. That's even stronger. Like, you should have probably had mine.
Let me try it. Can I try it?
Try it.
Is it different? I mean, that's not very strong.
That looks strong as... Maybe put some more milk in it. Dilute it down more.
It's fine. That's fine.
He's literally there like, this tastes disgusting.
I'm going to be good. We should do a third podcast this afternoon, guys. No, that's great. Okay. So antioxidants, talk to me about that, because you're on this amazing nutrition diet.
Yeah.
As you say, you're taking it back to basics, uh-huh. but you've got this time where you're not traveling.
Yeah.
To put your health first, basically. Yeah. And not only is it your health, but then that will help up here, right? Your mind.
I think anything I do essentially to my body is for my mind, like for my brain. I think ever since I had this concussion a few years ago, I did so much research about brain health and looking after your head, and that everything we do to our body impacts your head. And I love feeling happy. It's my one thing. I'm a very glass half full girl. Like I'm a very positive person. And if I can't feel happy, I'm like, not that I run from sadness. I think that's so important to embrace feeling sad and feeling all emotions. But if I can feel good, I'm going to do everything I can to feel the best I can. So when I have a health issue come up, I'm definitely not someone that's like, like, I'm just going to ignore that and keep making it worse. I'm like, I'm going to do everything I can to fix it so I can continue feeling great. Mm. So I've had this, I had this issue with my like gut and stomach for quite a while, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Like, we couldn't really get to the bottom of it with my nutritionist, and we finally cracked the code, and she's like, you need to essentially do this elimination diet. And it's like, no sugar, everything anti-inflammatory, really, like
everything,
no sugar.
That we love.
Everyone's like, how are you doing this?
Yeah. And I'm like, so go on, talk me through like a typical day of your food.
It's no sugar, no gluten, no dairy, no sauces, nothing processed really. So it's literally just like, it's a high protein and
so what's for dinner tonight?
Veg, maybe like salmon and some broccolini and Brussels sprouts, and
fine.
It's just healthy.
I'd be happy with that.
But there's, it's limiting, you know, and I have a lot of coconut because the coconut's really good for your like bacteria in your
coconut,
gut.
Coconut, I think, is my favorite alternative to milk. I mean, that's the most first world thing I've ever said. But
yeah, coconut
but
milk,
I love it. Coconut
milk, coconut yogurt, delicious, you know. So yeah, but the hardest thing has been the no sugar because I love fruit and I love eating fruit. And by the way, this diet is not for everyone. I'm not saying fruit is bad and gluten is bad and dairy is bad and sugar is bad. No. It's just when you're trying to fix certain things, because essentially my main issue with this was that the issues going on in my stomach were really impacting my head. I was getting the craziest brain fog, the worst, like just concentration, overthinking, my mood swings were just
really,
yeah, because essentially it was really messing up my hormone levels. So every time, you know, when you're a girl, every time you're coming onto your period, your hormones are already going wild. Mine just was so exacerbated. And I was like, this is not normal.
But like, there's got to be a way to take control.
Something does not feel right. Yeah. And so also the main thing with doing this has been cutting out alcohol and, you know, do anything like that. So that's been amazing. Like 6 weeks, no alcohol. I would never have done that before.
Yeah. So like, how old are you?
I'm 24.
And, you know, any normal 24-year-old to say that they've gone 6 weeks without alcohol, you'd be like, no.
I did all of January off
alcohol
as well.
Dry Jan, I think.
I did dry Jan. I'm not really drunk this year, which is crazy because I am, not that I'm like a binge drinker, but I'm such a social person. I love music festivals. I love partying. Like,
and it's
I
so
love
easy
a
to
casual
say,
drink.
Let's go for
you know?
Go to the pub. Let's
yeah.
have a quick drink.
Let's have a little
drink.
Wine. I'm a wine girl, like a red wine with dinner. Or I do travel a lot. So it's like, you always seem to find a reason to drink, you know? There's always a, like, let's celebrate this or someone's birthday. Or so it's been hard to like find a minute where I could go, I'm not traveling. I can actually do this and really focus. Because the thing is, with achieving a goal with anything, it's you need consistency, you need routine, and I did not have that. I haven't had that in years. Like,
is that difficult in what you do then as a job? Yeah. Because putting routine in to, you know, when you're traveling a lot, and also when you're ultimately self-employed, right, makes life so difficult.
It's not impossible, but it's hard because you get a job come in and it's like, oh, we need you in Paris or we need you wherever in 3 days or next week. So it's like, oh, I've been in this great routine. Now I'm going to be off my routine. And then getting back into the routine takes time again as well. But this has, been the first time I actually blocked out having a few months no travel and just got really strict on myself and was like, this is priority. You feeling your best is priority, because when you feel good, you're going to work harder and you're going to be better when you go and do the jobs. Summer's coming, you know. I was aware that so much travel was going to be coming up anyway, so I just thought this is the perfect time to get serious and also put myself first and actually look after my body. Like, I was just running from a few things, I think, last year, and I would use travel and work as such a distraction, and I wasn't looking after myself and over socializing, drinking too much. It just indulge in eating, you know, like all of the things we do to escape our head and not to feel what's actually going on. Mm. So I think, yeah, it's been so impactful, not only in my health, but in every aspect of my life, for my career, for everything. Like everything essentially bleeds into, you know, every aspect.
So let's talk about alcohol. What was your relationship with alcohol like? Did it get to a point of reliance, or it was just an overindulgence?
Just overindulgence. That's the one thing I'm very grateful for with my personality. I do not have an addictive personality.
Yeah, sure.
Aside from like yummy fucking sweet food, I love a little cake or a pastry, but I don't have an addictive personality, thank God. So like I can go cold turkey on anything essentially.
Fair.
But I just love the taste of cocktails, and like I'm a very social person. I love eating out, eating nice food. So I think what I did notice, though, if I'm being honest, is towards the end of last year, there was just such an accumulation of feelings I was not feeling properly. And I think I was going out and drinking to distract myself from them. And then the feelings that would then come when I was hungover was just so bad. The hangover
big
just
drop.
The drop. And I was like, why am I doing this to myself? You know how you're going to feel after, not just the day after, but the next 2 or 3 days after.
Well, what you got to remember is alcohol is still technically a drug. So you're constantly chasing that high.
Mm.
And, you know, you're always, you know, everyone's guilty of it, going, let's get one more drink.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, let's have a tequila or something. And then the next day, you know, it's a write-off. You eat junk food.
That's it.
Don't go to the gym.
You're out of routine
and you just
again.
Mess it up, right?
And yeah, I ended up just feeling shit and disappointed in myself for then messing up my week routine. My work was then falling behind. And I noticed as well when I was drinking, when I drink, like you wouldn't be able to tell when I'm wasted. I'm the same. I'm like very just like
a true Aussie then.
But inside, I'm like, whee! You know, having the best time. Everyone's like, you're chilling though. I'm like, I am fucking lit right now. But I'm not slurry. I don't fall over. I'm not all of that. But I would start to notice, because my personality in my real life, I wasn't happy. When I would be getting drunk, I'd be getting really sassy. I wasn't liking how I was speaking to my friends. Like I was much more short tempered. And I'm like, are you even having fun right now? Or are you just, you know, and I wasn't liking who I was being. So I was just like, we need to take a step back, you know?
That's a really good way of putting it as well. And actually, it's so good to actually just take a break from alcohol.
I think
everyone should do Dry January to at least try it and realise, well, hang on, you don't need it at all.
I realise how much unnecessary drinking I was doing.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it is.
It's just
like, it's nice to go, don't get me wrong, to go have that luxury.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with a mocktail?
Yeah.
And still socializing.
Yeah.
You know?
And also like getting to know people without the alcohol. Like I feel
it's a
like,
skill.
Yeah. I was using it as such a barrier of like for confidence. And I'm like, you know how to socialize with people without alcohol. You shouldn't need it every time to get to know people, or, you know, because then it becomes habitual and you think you need that thing to get you through when you don't.
Are you quite judgmental and critical of yourself?
Yes.
Are you like you're probably your biggest critic? Then?
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that healthy, do you think?
To a certain extent, like I am so happy I've got me. If something's happening, I'm like.
So you got the self-confidence, but also the self-critique.
Yeah, I think because I am my own boss, and I've never, like, my life trajectory is up to me. Like, no one's gonna do it for me. My career, it's only moving forward if I'm moving forward. So I think I've formed that because I started social media and doing what I'm doing at such a young age. Like I was in grade 10 and I started making YouTube videos, and it's not stopped since then, really.
Yeah.
So it is, it's bad because I don't necessarily know when to have a break. I never knew when to just be like, okay, like let's pull back a bit, because then there's always that voice like, you're going to fall behind and you're going to let yourself down. And I think because I have such huge goals, I need to be consistent and onto it. But yeah, I've learned as I've gotten older when to pull back, when to stop. And getting my concussion was the universe literally being like, stop. You're not listening.
Moment.
So we're going to stop you for you. And I learned so much from that to now take the signs when my body's going enough, 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 to just slow down a bit and reevaluate and then move forward.
So let's like rewind then.
Mm-hmm.
All the way back to home country, Australia.
Yes.
Born in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Lived in Sydney for ages.
Yeah.
But At what point, and I'm assuming it's in Australia, did you first become aware of your mental health and kind of start to think about it?
When I was 17, I graduated school. I went to an acting school and I did like 3 years intensive like theater training, and I thought I was gonna move straight to Sydney and go to NIDA, this other acting academy there, and audition and just act.
Yeah.
And then I was like, holy shit, I'm burnt out like from all this training. It was so intense on my mind and like went through all the emotions of it. So I was like, I don't even know myself. And if I want to be a great actress, I need to go through every ounce of emotion and live and have my like life experience. So I'm going to move to Byron Bay. And I graduated school and like a week later moved by myself to this little beach town called Byron. Bless my mum for letting me go. And that was the first time I really identified my mental health, because I've never felt more lonely in my life. Like being alone in this town, I didn't really know anyone. I was so young and I was so confident and I was like, what am I doing? And I feel like I went through such a like intense, lonely period of my life, but it was the most amazing for my growth, because I just sat with myself, I journaled about it, I started reflecting on all the things I'd gone through in high school and the trauma and like, oh my God, this is who I am in the world as an individual. And that's where mental health became so important for me. I had a lot of friends as well that were going through different, I guess, mental health struggles, like eating disorders and anorexia that were around me at the time. And I would just started identifying with, holy shit, everyone has something going on. Like friends that were anxious or depressed. And I just started taking such a care for that, and also for my own head. So I really delved into it then. And then it's been such an important thing for me since
then. Yeah, I guess you don't realize when you get given time on your own, like you did in Byron, that's when like reflection is, it's crazy. Cause I'm probably not very good on my own. Like you, I'm very much a people person. And when I'm on my own, you just get so many thoughts, right?
Yeah.
But it's then taking that control and doing something about it. So journaling or documenting it. Or, you know, whatever your vice is.
Yeah. Every day I would just go and sit on the beach by myself. So uncomfortable being by myself, because I grew up always around people. I did not like being alone. I'd just go and sit and I'd be like, okay, we're just going to ride it out. And you've got you. And I formed a relationship with myself. I was like, you are your own home. If you can't enjoy being with you, how the fuck can anyone else? Because you don't even like you. So you need to like, I said to myself, I was like, you need to get to know you and be able to have you, so that you, like that's the only way
that's
to survive.
Where you can thrive in
like
life.
It's such a thing that should be normal to us, but it's not. No one teaches you how to like be with yourself, because it is scary to just be able to sit when there's a lot going on in your head. It's your body wants to protect you.
Something that I found quite difficult is getting thoughts to paper, like you know, quite literally journaling, because it's difficult sometimes. You know what the thought is, but to get it into words is it can be a challenge.
You have to just surrender. I think I even think the best exercise to do is you just get a piece of paper and you put your pen down and it's just you free flow. Don't even think, let any word come out. It could be like swear words all in a row, or just like bird, cow, I don't know, like any, it could be anything. And you just, then it starts flowing because you stop judging yourself. A lot of it's just self-judgment. Why am I writing this? Oh, this feels weird.
Is
like
this your podcast? Yeah. It's good. it's so true. Let's talk about acting then, because that's obviously like a passion from forever, right?
Yeah, since I was little. You're like, I'm gonna be an actress.
Exactly the same as me, right? And like,
do you act?
Yeah.
You said you taught drama.
Yeah, no, but I'm signed with an agency as well. Let's just get that in there.
Guys. I act.
I haven't acted for a while.
It's hard. It's fucking hard. The industry.
Well, exactly. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you loved your acting, but as you know, knew as well at school, it was difficult. And so you got into stage makeup, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and that's amazing. But how were you perceived at school for doing that? Because when I think back to school, it's so easy to judge other people.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
I think that everyone had an opinion on me for sure. Like in Brisbane, it's also such a small town, and I started posting on YouTube doing makeup. Everyone's like, who does this girl think she is? Like, what? And I had also come from, when I was younger, I was bullied in school. I was extremely overweight as a younger girl. Like, I was not the pretty girl. It just, as I got to like grade 10, something happened. I don't know. Like, my whole life flipped. I grew into my looks, I lost weight, and then I just had this wild confidence about myself. Even though, even when I was overweight when I was younger, I didn't care. I was such a confident kid. Mm. It's just my personality. Bless her. Thank God she had that going on. But everyone was so judgmental. I'm like, who do you think you are?
And it's really damaging at that age.
In Australia, we have a thing called tall poppy syndrome. People do not like to see you doing well. So they like will do anything to bring you down. But I just was okay with being misunderstood because I had such a fire in me that I was like, I know exactly what I want to do. I know exactly why I'm here. Like, I just need to stay true to that. And this makes me happy. So like, fuck what you guys think, honestly. And I'm so happy I stuck to my guns with all of that because I wouldn't be living in London. I wouldn't be have had half the experiences I've had in my life. And it strengthened me a lot.
Yeah, I was speaking to someone the other day. It's actually a really good point where it's just like, you can think every single day, no matter what, about people judging you. That's never going to change.
Yeah.
And you can't change their opinion, really. So actually, what's the point in worrying about it? And there's like, no need. Let it go.
Yeah.
And let them think that. And be you, the unapologetic version of
They're
yourself.
They're always the people that judge you at the start are always the people that message you a year later saying, love seeing what you're doing. We should catch up.
I know.
I promise you. It's like, so I true. Actually pinky fucking promise you that that will happen.
Yeah,
if you
it's
take
so
that
true.
Leap... People judge you because they see something in you that they wish that they had.
Yeah.
So it's easier to hate on someone when they're doing what you wish you could do.
Sometimes it's not always, but that's that jealousy, envious kind of behavior. But also at the same time, it's just, I think there's some strange people.
There's, yes.
Strange people. No, but I just think, I struggle to judge people, but also I'm like, I don't know if you're like this as well, but if I'm at the pub, I'll talk to the table next to me.
Yeah.
If I get on the train, which is strange in London, I'll talk to the people next to me.
Yeah.
But people are just like,
they're like,
this is strange confidence. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably never going to see you again.
I know, and that's
and
why.
And it might put a smile on your face for the day.
I love living in a big city for that reason. Like, in London, I'm like, I literally don't care what I wear, really, what happens if something embarrassing happens. I'm like, they're never going to remember me, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about social media then.
Uh-huh.
And when you first started YouTube, because your platform grew pretty quick, and you had thousands of followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, which ultimately is a responsibility, right?
Yeah.
So how did you feel that at such a young age as well?
Yeah.
Because that's quite a responsibility.
Yeah, I was so young when it all started happening, and I think it wasn't a career, it wasn't an industry fully formed as it is now. Mm. Back then, like, it was, you had a few of the OGs doing it, and it was like, ooh, this is all new, and now it's this fully fledged world. I've always taken it so seriously, which is why I actually felt so guilty from a young age having this, I guess, happen. I had all of this notoriety and praise, I guess. And then with that, I also had a lot of opportunity to make a lot of money from a young age. And I always felt guilty in my friendship group that all my friends were like struggling artists. They were trying to do this or that, or they didn't have the money to travel like I did or that. So I always felt guilty and I would always undermine myself.
So is that imposter syndrome then?
Massive imposter syndrome. I was like, why me? Like, I'm normal. There's nothing special about me. I just do this shit sometimes for fun. Like, it didn't make sense to me. And so I felt such an immense amount of gratitude for this like huge blessing that I just like, I didn't choose this. This just happened like by a fluke, you know, the internet just like picked up my video and it went, you know, big.
It's
and
just
then
amazing how that can happen. One video that ended up just
make
the next
and then,
one.
Well, then the next one, then it all, then somehow I just kept doing it. But I always said my trade-off, if I'm going to do this job, which I feel so lucky to have been given, is that I need to give back. So I'm on this platform to give a piece of myself to help other people. And that's, even if I'm posting about makeup or fashion or whatever, how can I make my messaging around mental health or about positivity? And I was like, why am I also so lucky? I'm just a really happy person. Mm. Like, I think there's just this thing in me that I'm just happy and I try and be happy. It's not easy to, but I was just always like, that's my trade-off. That's my responsibility to make sure I'm putting out something positive because I've got all these young girls and boys following me. Like, I need to be careful what I'm putting out there because people
forget
their
influence. Well,
you don't
want to give the wrong advice as well because you can say, oh, just be happy. And it's like, of course, it's easy for some people to say that, but actually, you know, some people are scared to go to the GP about stuff like that. Do you call a hotline, but are they too scared to do that?
Difficult. Like, you know, even in the moments I'm saying, just be happy, I'm going to say then, okay, this is what you can actually do.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's some tangible things go you can do. Go for a run. Yeah.
Because that is going to, your body is going to tell you to be happy.
Yeah. And I'm so not someone that's like, I'll do as I say, not as I do. I'm like, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing and I'll show you I'm here doing it as well.
Check my stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about your relationship with social media then? How much time you spend on it? Do you limit yourself time on socials? And do you feel like confident enough to go, right, enough is enough?
I'm bad.
Are you?
Yeah, I can't lie. I'm bad because...
You got a comfy sofa though.
It's, you know, I sink into that and I will TikTok spiral. But no, it's actually not that I'm not even a big scroller necessarily. On Instagram, I feel like I'm worse because I love seeing what my friends are up to and I'm always talking to people. Mm. It's more that it's my job. So I feel like, oh, I could always just be creating content. So I could be like making a video out of something and posting it or like, you know, so I definitely need to be better at mapping out the times that I'm making content or watching content. Cause I do feel like it's the biggest escape when I'm not wanting to just sit with my emotions and feelings about how I am. I'll just try and run into that or message people or like get external validation. And the dopamine hits that I'm like relying on for my happiness from that is horrible. I need to be giving that to myself, not just looking for it externally. So
yeah, it's true. It's like, because I assume you've got notifications turned off, right?
Yeah. Besides like DMs.
Yeah. But I imagine for you, you don't get much negative commentary online.
No, I'm really lucky.
But it is a place that breeds it, right?
I'm so lucky because I think a lot of my peers, like we talk about it and they're like, oh, people on TikTok are so mean, like they're ferocious. And I'm just like, I'm so lucky, touch wood, that it's been this way. But I think, I don't know, I feel like people are just really nice to me, which I'm so grateful for.
Well, even
for.
On the Headstrong TikTok, you know, people are leaving comments about guests on it that are, you know, rude and...
Really?
Yeah, and defamatory, despite it being a mental health podcast.
Yeah.
And just commenting on image straight away.
Really?
And I just... And I won't say who, because I delete the comments. But I just think that... How do you get validation through a screen by leaving something negative like that?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's... I don't know.
Yeah, it's really strange. But how do you then show your vulnerability online then? Because you're great at showing that side of it, but do you feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah, when I was younger, before it became so saturated online and it was such, now it's such a business, I need to be aware of like what I am putting out there and what brands are seeing of me. Because I still need to think about my livelihood and making money to survive. So now I do need to think a little bit more about it. But I used to get on my stories when I was upset and I would post when I was crying all the time. And I don't know if people thought that was weird, but I would just get on and talk about anything that was coming to my mind or what I was going through, just to normalize being upset and normalize feeling not so great. Because I was like, you guys are all seeing me traveling and this whole fun side, but I'm a very sensitive, emotional person and there's a stressful side to everyone's life and that's okay. So now I'm not as good now. I'll have to admit, I'm not as good on my Instagram, but definitely like, that's why I still love YouTube, because on YouTube, I just don't give a fuck what I look
like.
Well,
vlogging is different as well to an Instagram story.
I'll just sit with no makeup on, like crying, looking whatever. I just don't care as much. I feel much safer on that platform probably because I've done it for so long and everything's short form now. Like, I don't know how to condense what I'm feeling and thinking into 3 minutes, you know, that's not real. That's very curated to me. So yeah, YouTube's such a great platform for that, I think.
Would you say you're in the best place your mental health has ever been?
I wouldn't say the best place. I feel like I'm definitely going through a few things right now that is difficult. And like, as much as this diet and not drinking is amazing, when you stop drinking alcohol, everything comes up. All the feelings you were suppressing definitely come up. But I'm feeling stronger and I'm feeling very like proud of myself for committing to that.
Well,
but
it's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that, and actually it's the same as training your body. Like if you get lackluster on your mental health, it will catch up with you.
I've had a whole, all of last year, I just was like,
You block the noise out, and now all of a sudden you're like,
I'm doing the catch up now. So it's like, I have, yeah, days where I feel super happy, but there's a lot still going on, and like living in a whole new country and city has been difficult for my work. So it's like, and it's much more expensive than living in Australia for me. So there's been stresses that I didn't have before that I'm now navigating, and just a huge work load as well that I'm like, well, you need to manage this a bit better. So yeah. But we're getting there. And life is good, and I'm lucky, and I'm grateful for all the lessons.
Summer's on the way.
I'm also vitamin D deficient. I said that when you came in. I was like,
it's like you had to open the door. I'm vitamin D deficient. That's the first thing.
I really do miss the sun, and I feel like I'm a lot of my happiness when the sun is out. I actually feel better.
I think it's
a scientifically proven thing. So, I think once the sun's out, ask me that question. I'm like, this is the happiest I've ever been.
So, a question that I ask all my guests is, what does the word headstrong mean to you?
Headstrong means, well, I guess exactly that, being headstrong, being like holding yourself accountable, I would say, to everything, to your feelings, to where you're letting yourself down, to where you're perpetuating your sadness maybe, or where you're not, or where you're leading from fear. Like, I think being headstrong is just having awareness and being real with yourself, even if the truth is a little bit uncomfortable, and just being kind at the same time and getting yourself through it.
Love that answer.
Yeah.
Really love that answer. Thank you so much for having us in your house. Thanks for my beverage.
You're very strong, matcha. Cheers. Yeah,
and I'll see you tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.